We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I have with me my trusty sidekick,
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis.
Beautiful St. Louis, right, Matt?
Beautiful St. Louis. We're nestled in the beautiful St. Louis Hills community right by picturesque Francis Park. Come and see us. Tedra is down the street, blocks away. Bring your Segway. If you don't have your own, you can rent one.
You're renting the Segways? No.
Rent out the Segways. No, maybe not. But there's Ted Drew's.
There is Ted Drew's, yeah. which is a draw. We don't
That's
have any Ted Drew's. Although we do have a new barbecue place opened up in New Athens. So if you like barbecue, you might want to come to
barbecue.
Yeah, it's called the Showboat Brisket and Biscuits. And they actually have special biscuits. They're just really neat. They take these biscuits and they put all kinds of neat, like apple stuff in there.
Yeah.
And cinnamon and sugar
that
and everything.
That sounds delicious.
It is. And little New Athens, we have this really kind of upscale barbecue place.
So neat. You got the pizza place, the barbecue place.
That's right. And don't forget, that's right. Gaetano's Village Pizza is some of the best pizza
it's
in
very
the
good.
Whole.
Yeah, the cheeseburger
and
pizza is
Machete's
great.
Machete's Mexican. We're a veritable...
See, I haven't been there yet.
You haven't? Well, come on. Come to church and then we'll go out to eat. Oh, you have to work on Sundays.
I'm busy on Sunday mornings.
But for those of you that aren't working on Sunday, come down and have church with us, and we'll go out to eat afterwards, go out to lunch. So here it is. You wanted to know what a hippie was called, right, in Latin?
Oh, everyone, I've been dying to know.
He's a conformitatis ozar. A conformitatis ozar. That's a hippie.
The hippie.
Hippie.
So, and you, if using our lesson from last week on hot dog, you can now buy a hippie hot dog.
That's true. Well, and maybe you don't want a hot dog. Maybe you'd rather have a hamburger. It's an Isium Hamburgensi. How do you pronounce that? I'm not very good at that. You try that, Matt.
Isium Hamburgensi. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Isium Hamburgensi. See, now that makes sense. You can see that would be hamburger in Latin.
Yeah.
And even this conformitatis ozar, so someone who's a nonconformist.
Sure.
That's hippie. But where in the world is hot dog postillum bortello fartum? Where in the world does that come from?
I think the Vatican's making stuff up.
I think they are, too. Okay. Well, at least we've done our Latin lesson for the day, and now we can move on, because I was getting excited about this. We've celebrated the whole business of Epiphany this last week. It's all about the Magi.
That's right.
But the question we're wrestling with is, who are the Magi? What were they doing there? And let's do more of the story of the Epiphany, because it's a fascinating story that goes along with what Bob was telling us, as you had pointed out, Matt, that God is doing surprising things. He's not doing it all what you might expect him to do.
That's right. With these Gentile Magi, who not only are they Gentiles, which we might not expect, but they're also, like we said last week, some shady characters, perhaps. These Magi and the roles that they play and the stuff they're involved with. So, what you want to just walk through the text and maybe just come in as we go along? Or?
Okay, let me just throw a couple things out.
Go
and
ahead.
Then, it's always best to go to the Word of God. We found that whenever we get into a difficult situation, we just go with what the Word of God says.
That's right. You can't go wrong.
But I'll just share with you some of my speculation about who these Magi are. You mentioned this passage in the Old Testament, which of course is what people would have been thinking.
Sure.
See, you got to remember when Matthew wrote that, people weren't thinking, oh, those are the wise men, those are the kings. They would have thought about these Magi during the days that they, by the way, were slaves in Babylon. So not only these practitioners of the dark arts, you know, they're fortune tellers, whatever, but they are fortune tellers for the enemy, for the people that enslaved them, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians.
Yeah, because I can't think of any time where the Magi are on staff in the court of of the kings of Judah, for instance.
And if they were in the court of the king of Judah, this would have been cause for God's wrath, because you don't rely on people like that. You rely on the word of God. You rely on God's prophets, not on magi. And in fact, it continues when you get to the book of Acts, because we got, wasn't it Simon? He's a magi too.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a real weasel. Yeah. I'll give you some money. I want to be able to do these kind of tricks that you're doing. Show me the secret to the tricks and stuff, you know? Yeah. So no, they're never, ever considered good, holy people. But here's my, I'll share with you my theory, okay?
Okay.
One of the ways that people used to tell the fortune is stars, right?
Yeah.
And what's the difference between astrology and astronomy?
Yeah, astrology, it kind of brings in that fortune-telling aspect into it, and reading the stars and interpreting with signs in the sky. And
So are you, what is your, do you know what your sign is?
My birthday's February 29th, so okay. What does that make me?
Well, I'm an Aquarius, but I think I'm right on the cusp, as they say there. So, yeah, so you're a Pisces. And so here's the deal. See, you'll go to your astrologer, and he'll look at your star chart, and he'll tell you, oh, Matt, this is probably a good time to sell your house. This is a good day to close on your house. Because that's what you're doing today.
Later today. And we're excited.
And see, here's the way it works if you're going to be a fortune teller, just in case this gig doesn't work out for you at Ascension. Okay. So backup plan. We all need backup plans, because I'm going to be retiring soon. I think I'm going to go into the whole fortune telling business. So the thing what you need to do is you got to know your customer. You got to know your people so that you can say things. They'll say, how does he know that? Well, you know it because you went on Google and Googled their name or something. It's really easy to be a fortune teller now. So one of the things that these wise men would do, remember now, they're probably Babylonians, all right? Because the Babylonians were really into the study of the stars. We know that historically. Might have been Persians, because actually, I think, isn't Magi a Persian word? I think it's a Persian word. Yeah. Of course, the Persians, you know, they dominated the Jews, too. Just about everybody dominated the Jews. So anyway, the point is that these Jews were up there, and many of the leaders and officials of the Jews were actually slaves in Babylon. In fact, it is interesting. I think when the Persians took over, they kind of eased up a little bit. Didn't they even, I think there was like Jehoiakim or something, and they took him in, and they gave him a nice house and stuff. And
oh, yeah. So the king of Persia allows them to go back and rebuild the temple, and even pays for it on top of it all. So anyway,
these magi are working with Jews. They're working with Jews. They're Jews. They're slaves, but they're prominent people. They still got resources and money. And so the best way to learn about a people is to read their books, read their history, right? If you're gonna scam somebody, again, you got to know as much as you can about them.
Sure.
So I'm thinking that these Babylonian magi, they're reading through these books, and they read the stuff about the star. There's this business in the Jewish books about a star appearing. And one day they're reading their star charts and they're checking up the heavens, and all of a sudden there's a star there that shouldn't be there. Now, that might not mean much to you and me, because we don't really pay that much attention to the stars. But again, these guys' living is based upon studying the stars. They know the pattern of stars. And when they see something that's there, that strikes their attention.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. By the way, that's one reason why it's really good to be an astrologer, because you do know that the stars always follow a set pattern. So that on any given night, I can tell you exactly where a certain star, I can tell you if there's going to be an eclipse or something. And people think, oh, look, he has the power to foretell the future. Nah, it's just, you got to know how your stars go.
Sure.
So anyway, where's that? I got to do that. Where is it? Here it is. You. I'm operating
the set. You know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Okay, Grandpa John.
You wanted to press that set effect.
So bad.
I know. All right, so I'll cut to the chase. That's the point. They are studying the stars. They see the star that doesn't belong there, and they know that doesn't happen. In astronomy, things always follow a set pattern. And so they're shocked and surprised at this, and they begin to think, there's this passage about a king arising in Judah with a sign of a star. We need to go check this out. Okay, so with that background, I'm ready now to start reading the scripture.
I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that, because that does give the background. Because, again, the scriptures don't give us all the details concerning these guys, and unfortunately kind of make it up as we go along. But that's good to give us some insight based on history, based on what we see in the Old Testament and their roles. And well, this is why they're here.
And that's what I like about that, because there are other traditions, and we're not dissing the traditions.
No, fine.
But it is funny that the scripture gives us all the hints about these guys. And the point, again, is they're not the kind of guy that you and I would call to be new church members. We're not going to go down to the Scientology Lodge and say, hey, how would you guys like to join our Sunday school class? We're not going to do that, but that's what God does.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So, yeah.
Good, good, very good. So, well, where we get the picture of the wise men or the magi is in Matthew chapter 2. So that's what we'll be looking at, Matthew chapter 2, and you listening at home can follow along.
But not if you're driving.
Not if you're driving.
Again, we need to qualify that. No. We did have that rather ugly incident that happened, so now legally we are bound to say to you, only follow along if you're sitting at home. Okay.
Okay, for those of you playing along at home, Matthew chapter 2, well, I guess let's just begin with verse 1, however long you want to read. You want to read verse 1 and 2?
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.
Yeah. So again, like we talked about, just some background, these guys are unexpected. Not only are they Gentiles, but most likely they did not worship the God of the Israelites, the one true God. They're likely servants of Persians or others and people that maybe in the past have oppressed the people of God. So they're just people that you would not expect, to search for that promised Messiah. And again, that's what I think makes this account so marvelous, so moving. One of the things is that they're not who you would expect.
But the trick here, though, is for us to understand that we're not the ones that are expected either.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's the biggest problem, and it's a real problem for you and me as a pastor, because we kind of think, well, we're pastors. We've arrived. And we always have to realize, no, we're really not the people that should be doing Wrestling with the Basics. Although there's probably a lot of people that would agree with that assumption.
We probably don't have to point that one out. Yeah.
How did they get a half hour on KFUO radio? But this is how we need to realize. No, we're not the people who should be here, but we are the people who are here. Yeah. I'm going. I'm sorry.
Well, and it's all by God's grace. All by grace.
That's the thing, isn't it?
And I love in this account too, among so many other things I already mentioned, this idea of light and darkness.
And
how God sheds light on these Gentile magi, shows them the star, and then more figuratively, the light of the world he sheds on them too as they come to Jesus.
But what a neat thought. That's right. These are people, 3 months, I think I read somewhere, it probably took them 3 months. So they're a long, long way from Judah. You would think God wasn't even concerned about them. Yeah. I mean, he's doing his thing there in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem. Yeah. Why would he? But, you know, I guess if you're going to set a star in the sky, you just don't know who's going to see it, do you?
Yeah.
That's the problem. You bring Jesus to be the light of the world, you just don't know who's going to see that light.
Yeah. And so our job as Christians is to share that light, reflect that light.
No, let's keep it hidden. Let's put it under a basket.
No.
It's a lot safer that way.
I know, yeah. That's not what the Lord does.
No.
That's not what we do either.
Yeah.
So, all right. So they come, and then, let's read on here. We meet another guy.
Yeah, talk about people being surprised.
Yeah, dark figures.
Yeah.
Here comes King Herod into the picture. So the first king we see isn't this King of Kings, isn't Jesus. It's King Herod, a pretty rotten guy himself.
Oh, that's an interesting thought, too. Yeah. Not the good king, Herod, but... Well, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Want me to keep going?
Yeah. Well, first let's talk about Herod a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know about Herod,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a nasty guy, yeah.
Yeah, boy. So Herod, he's worried. They're looking for the king of the Jews, and Herod gets nervous because, I'm kind of the king around here.
Well, that's
parts.
Right. How many kings can you have?
Yeah, really?
One. Come that's on. How the program works. Yes.
So just he's the ruler here, you know, at least under the Romans, as much rule as they let him have in some ways. But he's paranoid about losing that. You know, in fact, he was kind of famous for his paranoia.
Yes.
And losing the throne. And there was an old saying that it was better to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. You're probably safer that way.
That's right. Because as a Jew, you know, you wouldn't kill your pigs. You don't have ham on Easter like we do. But yeah, he did. Didn't he kill? He killed several of his sons, didn't he?
Yeah, he killed his wife, for one, and then at least two of his sons. And he's the guy that had that order that when he died, because he knew no one was going to be sorry that he died, that these Jews be rounded up and people be rounded up into the, I think it was the Hippodrome, and have them killed at the time of his death, so at least someone would be mourning for some reason when he died, even if it's not for him.
And this is why the text says, when the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Because when Herod gets upset, oh, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah.
Watch out. When Herod's not happy, no one's happy. Got to be careful. Yeah. So they show up there. They inquire of where the baby, you know, where this king of the Jews is to be born, where he's coming from, and then what do they do? Who do they inquire of?
The chief
priests
and
right?
the scribes of the people. Yeah, he inquired of them where the Christ was born. Yeah. Actually the first smart thing that Herod did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's their answer? So I guess we read on now.
Sure.
In verse 5.
They told him in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Yeah. So they look to the Old Testament scriptures, to Micah, who prophesied about 700 years earlier, and 700 years earlier, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's prophesied where this king is coming from. And they say, Bethlehem. Of Judea, that's where he's at. So it's just interesting, like we talked about in the past weeks, how these different signs that God gives, different things, different elements, we could say. We talked about the water and baptism. We talked about the bread and the wine and the Lord's Supper. But those elements, those signs, they in and of themselves aren't that special. You know, they only get you so far, right? What you need is the word connected to it. And similar here with the star. The star, it's a special thing, granted. But even still, the star only gets them so far here in their search for this king. What points them to the way in the end really is God's word, the word of God connected to that star and connected to these Old Testament scriptures 700 years earlier.
And you know, the thought occurred to me that God loves to use signs. That's his program all along.
Yeah.
He's always sending signs. You know, you go to Mount Sinai, you got earthquake and fire and stuff like that. The thing is, though, the remarkable, spectacular signs, which we're always looking for, right? We're beginning a new year. We're looking for some kind of sign that this is going to be a good year. Those signs are always so limited and so temporary. So I just got to thinking about the shepherds. We saw a host of angels praising God. Well, they were here. A few minutes ago, sure, you saw a host of angels, you know. And the same thing with these guys. Oh, we saw this spectacular star in the sky. But now we got to stop and ask directions because, see, that's what people don't realize. The star has disappeared. It's not there anymore. We figure he's a king. He's got to be in the capital, right? That's where you figure you'd find a king. But we get there, and no one knows what we're talking about. And the existing king doesn't seem real happy that we're here asking about worshiping the king of the Jews. So that's the thing, people. If you want spectacular signs, God can give them to you. I think he does. I've had people, you probably have people in your ministry, too, that tell you about something that happened, and it was such an encouragement and hope for them. But you do need to remember the spectacular signs are all temporary and passing. Don't put your faith in them because they may be here and they'll be gone tomorrow. But as you pointed out, the one constant, even in terms of the signs, is the Word of God. That's the one thing that never goes away and never changes.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, and that's what gets them there, and that's what finally shows them the Savior.
Yeah.
Is the word. That's where they find the Savior. And we talked about how the scriptures are that cradle in which we find Jesus. And here, that's what points them to the Savior, the scriptures themselves.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry. You got my brain working. It's your fault.
Go ahead. Good. You're
because
on a roll.
Again, Bethlehem would be the last place you'd look.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is, well, it says that. Didn't it say that in the prophecy? Although you are least among the rulers of Judah. This is the last place anybody would come. But yeah, the word of God tells us that's where it's happening. Yeah.
So it's all just this whole account is full of the unexpected. And the ways that God works through the unexpected and these humble things like this little town of Bethlehem, these magi, amazing, incredible. And this little child.
And what excites me is that, so that same kind of stuff is going on. You want to have your sins washed away? Well, go get baptized. Oh, that's incredible. No, that couldn't possibly. Oh, baptism saves you, though it does. But again, as you pointed out, not because of the water, but because God has taken his word and he has attached it to the water. Well, okay, I'm sorry. You're just getting me excited. You want to keep on reading?
Well, sure. The other thing is, too, here, who's reading this? The chief priests and others and this Bethlehem. Keep in mind, they're in Jerusalem here at this point. Bethlehem, how far away is it? Only about 5 miles.
Yeah,
it's almost like
short
a
walk.
Suburb outside of Jerusalem.
Not even a Sabbath day's walk.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It might
10
be a
miles.
More
I thought you could do 10 miles. Can't you do 10 miles on a Sabbath?
I don't think it's that much.
I'm sorry.
It's like a Sabbath day's hike.
You could, okay. That's true. It's a hike, not a walk. Oh, the technicalities Matt gets into. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So anyway, it's as we'll get, maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but as we move into it, I don't know, what do you make of this? It's interesting. So they find out, they've talked to these scribes, they've talked to these chief priests, they know where the promised king, savior's coming, the Messiah, Bethlehem, and the wise men then, or the magi, head off, but no one goes with them.
Yeah, that's
always
struck me too. Yeah,
you would think if the chief priests and the scribes, they knew that the savior is coming, and they knew that it was even foretold in Bethlehem, wouldn't you just want to go the extra 5 miles and check it out?
Except, remember, these are crazy Gentile black magic astrologers that have come up and made up this story. I think it's just, what it is. What do you expect from these guys from Babylon? No, we don't believe anything they have to say. Star, We didn't see a star. Did you see a star?
Yeah.
He would show us the star.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Why didn't we get a star? Yeah. Although I agree with you. That's always surprised me because there it is right there in front of them and none of them bothered to go. But then, like I said, the more I think about it, if some crazy guy came to me and said, Jesus is down there at the barbecue place. You got to come and see Jesus at the barbecue.
He's eating the biscuits.
Yeah, he's eating the biscuits. I probably wouldn't go either.
Yeah.
So.
Or are they scared of Herod? That we don't want to go and upset Herod. I don't know.
Well, there you go, too.
Speculating here.
I know, but see, I like that, too, because we got to realize these are sinful people. There's no doubt about it. But God loves them. He really does love them. But there's stuff at this point that's keeping them back from faith, too. And it is, I guess, important for us to note that, you can get out your computer and you can search for the word Bethlehem and you can find this passage, but that doesn't mean you believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they knew their scriptures enough that they could tell you, we know where that passage is. It's there in Micah, but they didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that word of God's got to work on you. Yeah.
You bet, and it continues, because not only does the Old Testament scriptures foretell where this child is going to be born, but of a virgin, and not only that, but also that he would suffer and die. And not only that, but that he would rise again. And yet we see, as we read on then in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, that they don't believe that either, even though it's foretold.
Because it doesn't match what their preconceptions were, did it, Matt?
No.
They had already made up their mind what this Messiah was going to be like, and he certainly isn't going to be announced by a bunch of Babylonians. Now, this is the guy that's going to come to put the Babylonians in their place. They're not going to be coming worshiping God. No, they're going to be sent all down to hell.
God wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't do
that. Oh, of course not.
And, of course, it's the thing that we have to wrestle with today, because God's telling us all kinds of things about his baptism, about his supper, and we're saying, well, that just can't be. That's too incredible. Really, you think his body and blood could be in that bread and wine? Nah.
And that the plan of salvation extends to the corners of the earth, to all nations.
People. Yes. See, that's just right.
And even people, not any.
Maybe Muslims. Do you think he might really want to?
Even a Muslim. Different nationalities. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
More to talk about.
Good. Yeah, we'll continue our discussion on Epiphany.
Because we got to talk about the gifts and stuff. What the gifts about? You talk about crazy stuff. Those are crazy gifts.
Yeah. And why these gifts? What's
exactly.
The deal?
Blessings to you. We'll continue the story next week.